Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Allison, along with Red Hood. And Johnny should be along.
Johnny should be along in a few minutes.
I mean,
really? Yep, you're now. Who? Try it again.
Yes, there's our Pilates music director.
We have, ladies and gentlemen, no promotions tonight. We've decided to go for good. Forgo the promotions for a reason. We are here to honor a very good man. You know, our usual satire show is, yes, very funny. And we, each time we do the show, we try to make it as funny as possible. But tonight, we are not scouring the earth for Putin. We are not going after homeless people who have starred in craft commercials. We are not going to go after, you know, world affairs, which we love to do. Tonight,
yes,
we are going to honor a man who we all respected and is beloved around the world, whose name begins with R and ends with the letter W. The fact that is that this man, he was my hero. He was everybody's hero. Everybody who's gone and grown up with a disability, I wouldn't say damaged goods, but people who love his films, whether you were a kid of two or an adult of 65. He was the world's jester.
Yes.
You know, and there's nothing in this world that can replace Robin Williams, except possibly the clips that we're going to show you tonight. I think most of us, if not all of us, our first film of him, which my first one, was Fairy Tale Theater. I remember going across the street to my local video shop, and I remember renting the Fairy Tale Christmas, or the Fairy Tale series that starred Shelley Duvall. And I was rather addicted. I think that because I knew that it was theater, and I knew that it was something that I would love. I watched it religiously. I watched it. And, yeah.
My first film that I loved him and had to be Hook, just because classic Disney story, classic story we all love and grew up with. And now... And Mrs. Doubtfire, down to Aladdin.
Oh, Mrs. Doubtfire. I don't know, you know, if that was my first introduction to just how funny this man could be in drag. You know, yeah, I had never seen a transvestite before. First introduction to one, even though I knew it was Robin Williams behind the eloquence of it. They have at the Museum of Television Radio, or not the Museum of Television Radio, the Museum of Moving Image in New York. They have Mrs. Doubtfire's plaster molds.
Oh, wow.
Of his face. And the wig. And
cool.
There is a video of him getting made up. And it's absolutely enchanting to watch because you go, wait a second, that's a face? And then you go, wait a second, that's a woman. And then you go, wait a second, that's one man playing a woman.
Even...
And you can't believe it.
Right. It's like we're... And even with Mrs. Doubtfire, he would have had another... reclaimed the role as Mrs. Doubtfire.
I mean, yeah, and it's sad because they were just working on it. They were just having the
what was I going to say? I lost my mind.
They just announced it.
Yeah,
they just
announced the second one, and they were just going through the
process of getting it all finalized.
Well, yeah, and now they can't. And if they do, it's going to be with somebody like Jim Carrey or something else.
Right. There's someone who can manage to do this and manage to take on that role as a kid. We all enjoyed, along with Aladdin, down to hearing Jim Carrey say, Freudian slip.
Major slip up.
But Robin Williams' voice. Sorry, Jim Carrey's done a lot of audio as well. But if Mrs. Doubtfire was to be done, Jim Carrey would probably be the one of the people to go and say, okay,
what can I do? You know, would be
what can
a
I
question.
Do? What could he do to better to aid in this production? So if he's known to be involved, he's done different work, the nature of having to change for roles.
Well, changing which role?
When he there was a few roles. There was the Christmas, the Grinch, he had a prestigious.
Oh, yeah.
So
he's
used to this. He will be used to the change. Like, prosthetic. Anyone else?
Oh, sure.
I think Mike Myers could do it justice.
Oh, yeah.
He might be able to, but I'm not exactly sure.
Right.
I mean, Johnny Depp. Possibly.
Yeah. Very true.
Who else? Oh, God.
Sure.
I don't know.
There has to be more, though. That if, and wasn't he in the midst of doing something else? Boot? Like, didn't he have other movies that were already finished in post-production as well? If I'm not mistaken. Which is quite, it definitely leaves you saying, wonder what's going to go on. Especially with those, especially those that are, who are not, who, those films that, he, like Mrs. Doubtfire, that is not even in post-production.
It's not even made yet. It's not even in the can.
Right. If it was, okay, when Heath Ledger died, wasn't there a film where people have ended up taking out?
Yes. And that was, the Imaginarium.
Yes. That's one.
And there were 8 supporting actors.
So,
it's a Terry Gilliam film.
Okay. I remember it. How they were trying to regain what was done. Trying to make it progress when obviously they know that the lead role was his, and trying to have different people come in, and that's hard.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's like Heath Ledger is remembered. Now everywhere there's memorials popping up as well. Which is, everyone is mourning.
Absolutely.
He's accomplished so much. Just now there's more. There's now the way of saying, okay, what are those that broke with him, and those that even worked with him, they're mourning. Fans,
of course,
we mourn.
Everybody's mourning.
Yes.
I mean, they're saying, why did you have to do this? I mean, first off,
he was battling severe depression as well, so when it comes down to it, we can't it's like we can't just say, oh, no, this is bad. Oh, he's no longer with us. Yeah, we know people suffer from depression every day. People may not show it. People may not even see it.
Except that one of the things that is very apparent is that people with depression don't tell other people that they're depressed. Because they don't think anybody ever cared. And say that is absolutely not true.
When there's actually people out there that do care and say...
That are besides the medical profession.
Right. And come and say, this is, something's not right. Things have to get done. If not for the person who's ended up, not for that person that ended up doing whatever to awareness to do something.
Well, yeah, raise awareness. I think in almost every commercial I've ever seen him in, it is rather, I wouldn't say disheartening, but rather evident that he is really depressed. I don't know why, but he looks depressed. You know, I find that his greatest film, the one that I cried about the days after, was Good Will Hunting, tied in with Dead Poets Society. And the speech called Oh, Captain, My Captain.
Yes. I myself loved him in Hook, which I believe we have a clip as well.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do.
Oh, Captain, My Captain.
Well, you can go all three, Johnny.
I got Oh, Captain, My Captain right now.
Yep.
Yes.
How important.
Say that. Play it on.
Question one rates the poem's perfection. Question two rates its importance. And once these questions have been answered, determining the poem's greatness becomes a relatively simple matter. If the poem score for perfection is plotted on the horizontal of a graph...
Mr. Keating, they made everybody sign.
Mr. Anderson.
You got to believe me, it's true.
I do believe you, Tom.
Leave, Mr. Keating.
But it wasn't his fault.
Sit down, Mr. Anderson. One more outburst from you or anyone else, and you're out of this school. Leave, Mr. Keating. I said leave, Mr. Keating.
Captain, my captain.
Sit down, Mr. Anderson. You hear me? Sit down. Sit down.
This is your final warning, Anderson. How dare you? Do you hear me?
Oh, Captain, my captain.
Mr. Overstreet, I warn you. Sit down. Sit down! All of you! I want you to see him!
definitely one of the clips that of his that speaks volume. I must say so myself.
I mean, it speaks volumes to so many people. I don't know of a person on the first program I was ever, and like I said in the beginning of this program, the first film I was ever introduced to with him, the third Tell Theater, the second was Dead Poets Society, the second was Hook, the third was Dead Poets Society, the fourth was Good Morning Vietnam.
And, well, what do you know? We do have a clip from Good Morning Vietnam.
Yes.
Good.
And here it is.
Picture a man going on a journey beyond sight and sound. He's entered the demilitarized zone.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Ah! I feel good.
Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ.
It's 0600. What's the O stand for?
Oh, my God.
It's Mr. Leo. You know, this whole camouflage thing for me doesn't work very well. Why is that? Well, because you're going to jungle, I can't see you. If you're going to fight, clash.
That is not what we program here.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
You are not funny.
You're not going to last long here.
Boy, do I have a surprise for you.
Good morning, Vietnam.
In 1965, Adrian Cronauer was sent to do the impossible.
I was sent here on very strict orders from a colonel.
What the hell's going on here?
His mission? To build morale.
Where are you from?
Off of Cleveland, man.
Obviously, Vietnam's not that much of a change for you.
His strategy, keep them laughing.
If someone is not telling the truth, you say that they are full of...
His problem? Staying out of trouble.
You want to stick to playing normal modes of music. Jim Nabors, Mahavani.
Percy Faith.
Percy Faith, good!
Yeah!
He did a very off-color parody of former VP Nixon.
Thing is how the VP is such a VIP. Shouldn't we keep the PC on the QT? Because if it leaks to the VC, you can end up in MIA and then we'd all be put on Cape Cod.
Sir, the man is a walking keg of dynamite.
He's read unofficial news.
Ethel Merman jams Russian radar.
Hello, I've got a feeling.
What's he going to be like in 6 months?
Big dogs landing on my face.
What's he going to be like when he's 10 times as popular?
So what's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Hot and wet. That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle.
Touchstone Pictures presents Robin Williams as Airman Adrian Cronauer, the wrong person.
Very attractive man, Eversole. Don't think I haven't noticed.
In the wrong place.
This will not look good on a resume!
At the right time.
Good morning, Vietnam!
What a country. Heat, humidity, terrorism. Still, it's better than New York in the summertime.
And I sort of wish for my own selfish benefit, and I don't know about you guys, but if every morning I was woken up with, "Good morning, Vietnam," I would probably sit bolt upright in my bed.
Yeah, I think
I'd be glad that somebody cared.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. I
yeah.
mean, the strange fact is that even though, kids will say it's Aladdin, you ask anybody around the world what is going to go down, you know,
which movie do they like, that sort of thing. What would happen with this, that, and the other thing? You know, what is this? Yeah, what, especially his stand-up. His stand-up. Oh, my God. Holy shit. What? I think I laughed more at his stand-up than I did at his movies. Because
I enjoyed the humor in the movies. I don't know if it's just me, but everyone's different. So.
Yeah, but if you ever saw a stand-up, you would go, that is funny. Because what he was able to do in stand-up, he wasn't able to do in the movie. And
right.
Because he only had a limited shot, anybody who's anybody, go to YouTube. Go type in Robin Williams Live at the Met, Robin Williams on Broadway, or Robin Williams, his final one, which is, I own them all. I'm a very lucky man. Robin Williams, Weapons of Mass Destruction.
Oh.
And you will see a man who is... I was on the floor because there's one clip where he is describing Smokey the Bear and Forest Fires, and
okay.
he is confusing Smokey the Bear and Forest Fires.
Oh God.
And he is very funny. There's a load of other things that he did. Go to Audible. And, sorry, correction. Weapons of Self-Destruction, not Mass Destruction. Self-Destruction. You look at a lot of things. He tackled Gaddafi. He tackled Reagan. He tackled the cops. He tackled cocaine. He tackled alcohol. He tackled the ballet. He tackled spring. He tackled lust. His funniest one, in the original one, was Dr. Ruth. Instead of Dr. Ruth, it's Dr. Ruth.
Yeah.
He tackled Chicago. He tackled the Summer Olympics. He tackled Special Olympics. He tackled Bush, Cheney, and the Obamas. He tackled Sarah Palin and the Clintons. And
Ooh.
Other stuff, and the economy, and Arnold. I mean, the man just seems to... He didn't stop doing, and that's one lesson that you have to carry.
And how many people been affected?
Right now on NBC.
Sorry.
How many people really, how many people are, I look at it, how many people battle with depression and how many people have managed it, and then there's those that it takes them to pass away and say, let's discuss it. It's the silent... It's almost like it's a silent killer.
Well, it's a silent killer, but, you know... We could say many things of a silent killer.
Right. I know.
you know, death is a silent killer. I mean, this is a guy who trained at Juilliard, dropped out of Juilliard, and even even Juilliard couldn't stand him.
But he still kept on doing what he was doing, that's for sure.
Exactly. I mean, you don't... What you do...
When...
I think that the funniest thing is, what you do in life, you know, whether it's making an impact on people or training or this or that and making it so that you so that you have something to contribute. Clearly,
oh, yeah.
You know, clearly trying to, you know, I myself am applying to Juilliard, okay, for being a playwright. But clearly, it's not about me and this podcast, because it's clearly not. But clearly, Mr. Williams was a very generous benefactor to Juilliard.
Right.
And the man got taught by none other than John Houseman. Looked up John Houseman, and John Houseman was the chair of the drama department at Juilliard. He loved to hate Mr. Williams, but at the same time respected everybody within the department.
Right.
You knew somehow then that you couldn't control him.
Right.
And very often with disabilities, you can't control the person with disabilities. You only support disabilities, you know.
Right.
And you do it in the best way possible.
Right.
You know, I believe we have a clip from Bicentennial Man.
I think
it's there.
No, but we do have one from her.
Well, Hook 2, I mean, Hook Island.
Hook is now, let's
listen in.
Who is that?
It's Peter Pan. Has it been 3 days? 'Tis true, Peter. Time does fly. And so do you, I see. How did you ever manage to fit into those smashing tights again, Peter?
Hand over my son now, and you and your men may go free.
Why don't you ask the lad yourself? Jack's someone to see you. Son.
Give me your hand. We're going home.
I am home.
Ha, 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 good form. You see, Peter, he is my son. He loves me dearly, and I'm prepared to fight dearly for him. I've waited long to shake your hand with this. Peter Pan, prepare to meet thy doom.
Dark and sinister man, have at thee.
Ah!
No, Todd, you've never seen him before in your life.
Yes. You won't believe this. I found my happy thought. Took me 3 days to find it. But guess what happened when I did? I went. You know what my happy thought was?
It was you.
That was such a great clip. And something where...
I mean... Then also, you know, there were a lot of things in his career that you just could not repeat. You know...
I think we might have... Like Flubber, for instance, such a great, great, which I think we might have. Or we have Mrs. Doubtfire, another great
well,
one.
Well, Mrs. Doubtfire and the infamous Hot Flashes scene,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, for those of you who have seen Mrs. Doubtfire... You'll know what we're talking about when we play this scene.
It's coming up right now.
Okay, a pinch of basil.
Oh, damn!
My God, it's clotted. Oh, God.
It's Holland. It smells like burnt rubber. God, it's hot in here.
Oh! Ah! Help! 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 Help!
Oh! My first day as a woman, I'm getting hot flashes.
Another, that was the best.
I mean, I just find, you know, he was a master of, the best I think the best thing about Mr. Williams is his deep reservoir of imagination.
Oh yeah.
You know, anything from Hook to Bicentennial Man.
Which I believe we have a clip that's going to be coming up of that, among others that we all grown to love. Which we actually have a stand-up routine, a very early stand-up routine of his as well.
Oh, yes.
Let's do a little makeover on your hair. I'm going to do something special with you.
I want to put maybe some spruce on your hair. It's a combination of sperm and mousse, okay? It gives it that lived-in, loved-in look. Let's get some height, okay? People aren't coming back. Let's just put these on right now. California Highway Police, stop for a brief moment. But first, I'd like to show you some dance steps. We raised enough money tonight, we're doing pretty well, but you realize as much money as we raise, a stealth bomber costs $1 billion. And hey, what is a stealth bomber? It's a bomber that doesn't show up on radar. You can't see it, so you don't fucking need one. Here's what you do. Instead of building a stealth bomber, you just have to go out in the woods, spread some wreckage, and go, one of them crashed. Pretty soon the Russians are going, we better fucking get one too. Then you can build a stealth air force and a stealth army and a stealth navy, and pretty soon you're not spending money anymore because we're $1 trillion in debt. Who do we owe this money to? Somebody named Vinny? All my fucking money today, put in the bag. So maybe break the nuclear arms. Damn it. Do you realize why we're having arms control now? It's a good thing. Peace. It's wonderful, but the truth is,
we're broke. The Russians are broke. It's like two junkies negotiating over a plastic spoon.
Life's the bitch.
Okay.
But hey, we've got our own people right here just doing what they can. Remember the last temptation of Christ? There were people outside with signs going, this movie is not real.
Come here, Sparky.
No movie's real. Wait a minute. Whoa, hold on. And they have signs. They have big signs that say, you will not get into the kingdom of heaven. And I look at these geeks and go, are you going to be there? I'm not going. It ain't going to be me with you. No. Now, a movie like The Last Temptation of Christ is not. What is offensive about that? Nothing to me, except here's the fact that Jesus is always played by someone who looks like Ted Nugent, okay? You never have a Jesus who's Jewish, who's going, I got lepers here, you bastard. I walked across the water. Come here, prick. Open the door. And you never have Romans who are Italians. They're always played by some English actor going, oh, Thomas, where's my brother Fellatio? Bring him here. Roman who's an Italian going, I'm Caesar, kiss my fucking ass. What the fuck are you doing? No, the strange thing is, it isn't even sex anymore. It's emotions, it's Freud, it's psychology. You have a relationship, you go to therapy, you work on it and find out, so my mom was a guy, so what? Now, wait a minute, you realize, wait, the father of modern psychology was Sigmund Freud, a man who did enough cocaine to kill a small horse. And he came up with the theory that his mother wanted his dick, okay? Now, people who do a lot of cocaine are going, hey, not a bad theory, okay? Because everyone who does cocaine thinks that everyone wants your dick, except you can't find it. No! Yes, I used to do cocaine. I had a cocaine problem. It wasn't a problem. Everybody had it. It was okay. But I found something a lot more scary than cocaine. It's called Nintendo. That's some kiddie cocaine. You ever see a little kid play that? Give him a little chocolate. Daddy. Mario. 8 hours later, how you doing? Hey, listen, could you spare some money for Pac-Man, motherfucker? And then play it backwards. Play the Nintendo cartridge. You put the cartridge in and play it backwards. It goes, we won the war. We won the war. We won the war. Wait! You realize, if mankind had had cocaine at the dawn of civilization, we would have evolved in maybe 5-10 minutes. We'd still be in the cave going, I don't know what to fucking do with this, though. We had marijuana at the dawn of time. We'd be going, oh, fire, fuck. What it's about, dude. We have a hole in the ozone. This is not a good thing. This is not a slow leak. This is not something you've been spackled the fuck over.
You ever think that God might come back and go, who the fuck did this? Wait a minute. Whoop, whoop. All the animals are going, it's man. They did it. Kill them. Wasn't us.
A long night. My voice is gone. I feel like,
hi, I'm Harvey Firestein doing Pygmalion.
Sam, thank you for being here tonight. This is amazing to look out and see the same people. The Hung In. The Wild Night. Thank you for helping. You're doing a good thing, baby. You're doing a good thing. Thank you for letting me come out and play for a few minutes.
You too, Lumpy.
Take care. Have a wonderful evening. God bless you.
Now, do you see what I mean?
Yes. Yes, we do.
He was... It was like light to fluid. I mean, you set him off. And he would go off.
Yeah.
He'd go off on anything, just about anything with Emma. But that's what's really enjoyable about Mr. Williams. I don't know of a profession other than playwriting and acting where you can get away with killing somebody. And I mean actually get away with it. You know. Unfortunately, for this jester, amazing person, we will never know the answers of why he took his life.
Yeah. All we know is him being no longer here.
I mean, he left a legacy. He left a legacy of a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Now, we all here at AM Express do realize, we do realize that it's not enough to fill in an hour. However, we have a little surprise, right, Allison?
We have a little bit of clip that we have in store. So I'll see some Mr. Williams, Robin Williams, and his legacy. We believe everyone remembering him for him and him for all he has done and the legacy that's going to be forever missed. There's going to be no one like him.
Not unless somebody can pull up, you know, the same sort of spirits as he could.
Which?
And the same sort of energy.
I mean, if you get a chance, you do get a chance, go watch Weapons of Self-Destruction. Because not only is it very funny, but, you know, if you don't go watch Weapons of Self-Destruction, go watch Robin Williams live on Broadway. And
or there's so many others.
Very... Yeah.
Or there's also other clips of him, like, that are out there as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are tons surfing around the internet. The only thing I wish that I could say is what, I mean, all of us were wondering, what the hell are you doing? But a lot of
a lot of us,
it's way too soon.
You're right.
It's way too soon.
We do have a clip of, we have actually two clips from Patch Adams.
Oh, yes.
But let's just play, there you go, Patch Adams.
You've been accused of practicing medicine without a license. It's a very grave charge, son. Are you aware that it's unlawful to practice medicine without a medical license?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you aware that running a medical clinic without the proper licensing can place both you and the public in a great deal of danger?
Is a home a clinic, sir?
If you are admitting patients and treating them, physical location is irrelevant.
Yes, sir. Will you define treatment for me?
Yes, treatment would be defined as the care of a patient seeking medical attention. Have you been treating patients, Mr. Adams?
Sir, I live with several people. They come and go as they please. I offer them whatever help I can.
Mr. Adams, have you or have you not been treating patients at your ranch?
Everyone who comes to the ranch is a patient, yes. And every person who comes to the ranch is also a doctor.
I'm sorry.
Every person who comes to the ranch is in need of some form of physical or mental help. They're patients. But also every person who comes to the ranch is in charge of taking care of someone else. Whether it's cooking for them, cleaning them, or even a simple task as listening. That makes them doctors. I use that term broadly, gentlemen, but is not a doctor someone who helps someone else? When did the term doctor get treated with such reverence as, oh, right this way, Dr. Smith, or, excuse me, Dr. Scholes, what wonderful foot pads, or, pardon me, Dr. Patterson, but your flatulence has no odor. At what point in history did a doctor become more than a trusted and learned friend who visited and treated the ill? Now, you ask me if I've been practicing medicine. Well, if this means opening your door to those in need, those in pain, caring for them, listening to them, applying a cold cloth until a fever breaks, if this is practicing medicine, if this is treating a patient, then I am guilty as charged, sir.
Did you consider the ramifications of your actions? What if one of your patients had died?
What's wrong with death, sir? What are we so mortally afraid of? Why can't we treat death with a certain amount of humanity and dignity and decency and, God forbid, maybe even humor? Death is not the enemy, gentlemen. If we're going to fight a disease, let's fight one of the most terrible diseases of all, indifference. Now, I've sat in your schools and heard people lecture on transference and professional distance. Transference is inevitable, sir. Every human being has an impact on another. Why don't we want that in a patient-doctor relationship? That's why I've listened to your teachings, and I believe they're wrong. A doctor's mission should be not just to prevent death, but also to improve the quality of life. That's why you treat a disease, you win, you lose. You treat a person, I guarantee you'll win, no matter what the outcome.
So, another amazing clip of just one of his roles, one of his most memorable scenes we've had, Adam. Is that speaks so many volumes.
I mean, there's so many people. There's so many movies. You know, that he made. And then there's also the fact that he was on Broadway in The Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo, and holy shit, did he light it up. He lit it up like a 400-watt bulb in which nobody was safe from his wrath. I was very privileged to actually see him. You know, live. And then see him again at another location in which I can't give a name out of, but on tape live as well, for a repeat performance, because I couldn't get it out of my head. This play that talked about Iraq, and this play that talked about Saddam Hussein and had it as a zoo, you know, in Iraq. It was amazing.
He also, why don't we play another clip that deals with one of his with Bicentennial Man, since we did make mention of it.
Everybody downstairs. Come on, you guys, I got a surprise for you.
What is it, Daddy?
Wait. By the year 2005,
oh, you want family?
I guess so.
Every home will have an NDR 114.
Andrew, this is very good.
Thank you, sir.
I think it sucks.
Sucks? Chickens do not have lips.
He was designed to serve humans.
Would you please open the window?
One is glad to be of use.
Now jump. No! Out the window.
But there was something different about Andrew.
Two cannibals were eating a clown. One turns to the other and says, does this taste funny to you? How do you make a hanky dance? Put a little boogie in it.
What exactly is it doing?
He shows a number of characteristics like creativity, curiosity, friendship.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, Andrew.
It is a household appliance. And yet you act like it is a man.
You're unique. I feel a responsibility to help you become whatever you're able to.
This Christmas, witness one robot's extraordinary 200-year journey.
He learns and grows all the time.
To become...
This is an external physical upgrade only.
An ordinary man.
The secret to all this is imperfection. That's what makes us unique.
Like the shape of your head. It's huge.
Oh. Thank you. I believe
in miracles. Take the next step.
From the director of Mrs. Doubtfire comes an epic story.
Now, I saw the inner me.
That will bridge the gap between man and machine.
I am the proud owner of a central nervous system.
You can feel.
Will you perform an experiment just for the sake of science?
All right.
Kiss me.
By Centennial Man.
Look what I'm doing here. I am trying to make something of myself. I am trying to fulfill my destiny. Does she notice?
Can we talk about this another time?
Another movie of his that is always going to be remembered. Must say so myself.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. But then there's the ultimate. The ultimate. Which is definitely Aladdin.
Yes, Aladdin.
Yes.
I 10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck. Hang on a second. Wow! Does it feel good to be out of there? I'm telling you, nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, where are you from? What's your name?
Aladdin.
Aladdin! Hello, Aladdin. Nice to have you on the show. Can we call you Al, or maybe just Din? Or how about Laddie? Sounds like, here, boy. Come on, Laddie.
Hey. You're a lot smaller than my last master. Either that or I'm getting bigger. Look at me from the side. Do I look different to you?
Wait a minute. I'm your master?
That's right. He can be taught.
What did you wish of me?
The ever impressive.
The one contains the
cookie of an imitator.
But never duplicated. Genie of the lamp.
Right here, direct from the lamp. Right here for your very much wish fulfillment. Thank you.
So what'll it be, Master?
You're gonna grant me any 3 wishes I want, right?
Almost.
There are a few provisos, a couple of quid pro quos.
Like?
Rule number one,
I can't kill anybody.
Yeah, so don't ask.
Rule number two,
I can't make anybody fall in love with anybody else. You little punum there.
Rule number three,
I can't bring people back from the dead. It's not a pretty picture. I don't actually.
In case of emergency, the exits are here.
Anywhere. Keep your hands and arms inside the carpet. We.
Thank you for choosing Magic Carpet for all your travel needs. Don't stand until the rug has come to a complete stop.
Thank you.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, how about that, Mr. Doubting Mustafa?
Well, I feel sheepish.
All right, you bad boy. But no more freebies.
What would you wish for?
Me?
No one's ever asked me that before.
Well, in my case, forget it.
What?
No, I can't.
Come on, tell me.
Freedom.
You're a prisoner?
It's all part and parcel, the whole genie gig.
Phenomenal cosmic power!
Genie.
Let's make some magic!
C'est l'amour.
Oh, let's see. Chicken a la king? No. Yeah, that's in king crab. I hate when I do that.
Caesar salad.
Et tu, Brute?
Nope. That fez and vest combo is much too third century. These patches, what are we trying to say? Beggar? No. Let's work with me here.
Ooh! I like it. Muy macho. Now.
Still need something. What does it say to me? It says, mode of transportation. Excuse me, monkey boy. Rocky, over here.
Here he comes. And what better way to make your grand entrance on the streets of Agrabah than riding your very own brand new camel?
Watch out, they spit.
Not
around. Still not enough.
Let's
see, what do you need? What do you need?
Yes! He's a lambo shimindambo! Whoa!
Talk about your trunk space. Check this action out.
Another great... great comedy. You cannot get any better than that. Just
and
no
I
way.
We have the Carpe Diem quest from the Poet Society. Any takers?
Yes. Definitely.
Now, Mr. Pitt. It's a rather unfortunate name. Mr. Pitt, where are you? Mr. Pitt, will you open your hymnal to page 542? Read the first stanza of the poem you find there.
Did the virgins to make much of time?
Yes. The one. Somewhat appropriate, isn't it?
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying.
Thank you, Mr. Pitts. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Who knows what that means?
Carpe diem. That's to seize the day.
Very good, Mr.
Meeks.
Meeks. Another unusual name. Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines?
Because he's in a hurry.
No.
Ding.
Thanks for playing anyway. Because we are food for worms, lad. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. I'd like you to step forward over here. Bruise some of the faces from the past. You've walked past them many times. I don't think you've really looked at them. They're not that different from you, are they?
Same haircut.
Full of hormones, just like you. Invincible, just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things, just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope. Like you. Did they wait till it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. If you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on, lean in. Listen. You hear it?
Another great piece of his, how much he kept going too, and kept pushing along.
I mean, I think mostly a lot of his films dealt with. Stuff that he didn't want to face in real life.
Yeah.
Or he was very much I wouldn't say opposed. Okay.
He... had more of a way of expressing everything, you know, because of the stand-up, because of the fact that he was a person and a very fantastic entrepreneur, just a really fantastic talent that won't go away. You know, no matter how much you tried to send him away, he wouldn't go away. There's just some part of him that didn't go away.
Right, and I think his legacy will continue to be discussed for years to come.
Oh, absolutely, throughout the world. I'm definitely not betting on it. I'm definitely betting on it.
Yeah.
Because how many Robin Williamses? It's like somebody said, how many Richard Pryors are there? How many Lenny Bruces are there?
None.
But yet, how many kids don't even know who Robin Williams is yet, but he will be remembered.
Yes. I think we have the Flubber clip already.
Yeah. Flubber's really, really good.
Yeah.
2 years. Degrees Kelvin. Very cold. customer. Oh, hello, Whiskers. But that you can phase shift. Well, let's see. You're moldable.
A little ticklish.
Oh. You're foldable. You're gullible.
Oh, right. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. And... Ooh. You're ductile. You're elastic.
Just see how elastic you are.
I'm the Hackysack King.
Definitely one of those clips that I think that if you watch any of his interviews, especially until they rose, this is a man who deeply thought about everything he said. You know, with skill, you know, thinking about and reflecting and not just responding. You know, go onto YouTube, type in Robin Williams, Charlie Rose, and you'll see him talk about stuff for a solid hour that he did several interviews with him. I don't know about you, but man, could the guy speak really eloquently and seem very, very, very out of control. You know? I think when he really cared about something was when he came out right and said it. You know, he came out and said it in such a way that everything that came out of his lips there was nothing that I think he couldn't, you know, say. I mean, the man was so humble, but so, so private.
Yeah.
So private, but so great.
That's his work. I believe we may have another clip. Not 100% sure. I think we have Good Will Hunting as well.
Good what?
Good Will Hunting?
Yes.
Oh, Good Will Hunting. One of my favorites.
so you're the one.
Oh, my God.
Do you still, count your babies?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Well, I gave it up when my wife got sick.
You ever wonder what your life would be like if you never met your wife?
I wonder if I'd be better off without her.
No, I'm not saying, better off. I didn't mean it,
It's all right.
You
know, it's an important question. Because you'll have bad times, but that'll always wake you up to the good stuff you weren't paying attention to.
And you don't regret meeting your wife?
Why? Because the pain I feel now? Well, I got regrets, Will, but I don't regret a single day I spent with her.
So when did you know, that she was the one for you?
October 21st, 1975.
Jesus Christ, you know the fucking date?
Oh, yeah. Because it's Game 6 of the World Series. Biggest game in Red Sox history?
Yeah, sure.
My friends and I have slept out on the sidewalk all night to get tickets.
You got tickets?
Yep. Day of the game, we're sitting in a bar waiting for the game to start, and in walks this girl. It was an amazing game, though. You know, bottom of the 8th, Carbo tied it up at 6-6. It went to 12. Bottom of the 12th, in stepped Carlton Fisk. Old Pudge.
Steps up to the plate, he's got that weird stance.
Yeah.
And then, he clocks it, High ball on the left field line. 35,000 people on their feet.
Yelling at the ball, but that's not because Fisk, he's waving at the ball like a madman.
Yeah, he's going, get over! Get over! Get over! And then it hits the foul pole. Oh, he goes apeshit, and 35,000 fans, they charge the field,
Yeah, and he's fucking pulling up.
Get out of the way, I can't fucking believe you had tickets in that fucking game.
Yeah.
Did you rush the field?
No, I didn't rush the fucking field, I wasn't there.
What?
No, I was in a bar having a drink with my future wife.
You missed Pudge Fisk's home run?
Oh, yeah.
To have a fucking drink with some lady you never met?
Yeah, but you should have seen her. She was a stunner.
I don't care if
No, she lit up the room.
I don't care if Helena Troy walked into the room. That's game six.
Oh, my God. And who are these fucking friends of yours? They let you get away with that?
If I had to.
What did you say to them?
Just slid my ticket across the table and I said, sorry, guys, I gotta see about a girl.
I gotta go see about a girl?
Yeah, that's what you said.
I had.
And they let you get away with that?
Oh, yeah, they saw in my eyes and I meant it.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not kidding you, Will. That's why I'm not talking right now about some girl I saw at about 20 years ago and how I always regretted not going over and talking to her. I don't regret the 18 years I was married to Nancy. I don't regret the 6 years I had to give up counseling when she got sick. And I don't regret the last years when she got really sick. And I sure as hell don't regret missing the damn game. That's regret.
Wow.
Would have been nice to catch that game, though.
I didn't know Buzz was going to hit a home run.
I don't know about you. How many things, I mean, even also in Hamlet, Hamlet, he was a clown, which is quite fitting for him, because, well, he was a clown. But you also had Man of the Year, you had Father's Day, you had Happy Feet, you had Death to Smoochie. You have Night at the Museum, my personal favorite was My personal favorite? 1 hour photo. You want to see a very creepy performance? Go see that. And go see it. In, go watch it on a very late night. Where, you have a lot of time on your hands. You know, do that. And then call me back, because it's the kind of thing that you just don't forget. And it sticks with you. He wasn't only into doing comedy, sir. But that's what people don't realize. Is, he's also into doing dramas. And, I think the very the best one, if I could pick one, you know, was What Dreams May Come, The Fisher King. Holy shit. It was probably one of the best written movies that he was in. You know, and by one of the best people to direct it, Terry Gilliam. I mean, just a very, very, very awesome, upsetting film. You know, but so then again, it's Jacob the Liar. Yeah, so then is Awakening. So then is The Butler. So is What Dreams May Come. All really, really, really good movies. I mean, I have that they're so. And his hero was Jonathan Winters. You know, I think that there is nothing that is going to replace him. You know, even though Winters died last year, you know, if you're mentor dies, you know, the person who has made you laugh, then I don't know. I mean, what about you, Allison? What do you think?
I look at how many times through my life he's actually Robin Williams made everyone who's different actually feel not like we have a purpose. Like, he never allowed his issues to get in the way. He would just get... He was a huge person. He, as much as he never, he really didn't do campaigns for disabilities or very little of that, if I can recall. The way he, in the movies, he's always, from what I've seen him in, kept me going when I was at my weakest point, among other things.
I mean, for me, he kept me going, I think, all throughout my life. I have never, ever encountered a movie. I have many, many, many heroes. Okay?
As do I.
As do all of us. However, I have never seen, like, some of my heroes include George Carlin, Mort Sahl, Lenny Bruce, Robin Williams, basically anybody who is going to grab somebody by the balls and say, fuck you, but say it in a way that is so funny that will have you on the floor. You know, the way that he captured people's hearts. You know, I don't know about you, but, I mean, I was always a kid who looked up to this guy. I looked up to this guy and really, really, really said, what about him? He's so cool. But what's really cool about him is that he never stopped. He never said, fuck it, I'm going to quit. And it was only 2 days ago that he said that. And God knows what was going through his mind. We won't know.
Right.
We won't know. We're trying to see what is going through his mind. But we know that we're not going to be able to.
Right.
Unless you want to have his brain examined by the FBI. You know, I know that's a very cruel joke, but we know that's never going to happen. We know that it's his wish is going to be his wish is going to be bury my ashes or scatter my ashes over Alcatraz or, you know, Marin County or something else. Then let him, you know, let him be honored in a way that his family sees fit. Rather than
the comments that are known on Facebook. You know? The accountant's comments. Countless things being said about him. From colleagues. His daughter Zelda just got a really bad notice, which Rick said to him, her, you know, I'm gonna, you know, some idiot took it too far, which was basically to send her dead pictures of her father. Not cool. Not cool at all. You know. I mean, what do you think, Johnny?
I'm still awake.
Good. What do you think?
I think it's actually sad what happened.
I mean, I think he's in a better place now. But we are going to miss him so much.
Yeah.
We miss him so much.
Yes.
At least he,
Hey, again, there was a show you guys forgot about. Probably the one that started it up. Mork and Mindy.
Oh yeah. Nanu. Yes. I think we also have, since there's 20 minutes left, I believe we have two more clips. I believe we didn't play.
We didn't cycle.
This house has been empty for years. Everyone thought you were dead. Sorry.
Give me that description again.
I said red fur and long tail.
No! Get down off of my car, please, and get up on the sidewalk. What year is it?
It was brand new.
No. What year is it?
1995, remember?
You got some ID?
Oh, let me guess, you probably left it in the other Tarzan outfit, right?
26 years.
Are you from around here?
I was. But I've been in Jumanji.
Indonesia. He was in the Peace Corps.
Is this man related to you?
Yes, sir. He's our uncle.
Does he always dress like that?
Well, yeah. He's a vegetarian.
Get out of there! Ah, 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 ah! Monkeys!
Is he all right upstairs?
He suffered a head injury a few months ago.
Thank you.
was a great film.
Yeah.
And personally, I thought that they would never make Jumanji. Was it an actual war game? No,
yeah.
It was based off. It was based off the Chris Van Helsing book.
Right.
That's what it was. Sorry.
It's okay.
I thought brief time, but you know, I thought for a brief time it was based off of game. Wait a second.
No, it was based off of a book.
Based off of a book.
And
I just remember that book.
Does anyone remember there's a few scenes from Peter Pan that sticks out. I loved in Peter
from
Pan.
From what?
And Hook. From Hook.
Hook,
and
yeah.
And Peter Pan was him as Peter Pan, and he had to imagine. Which,
yes.
And I believe we have the clip. Quite a long clip, but well worth it.
Yes.
Well, I mean, what do you say about pure imagination? Is there anything that you can't say?
No, imagination leads to bigger and better things, too.
Well, yeah, and if you haven't, if you're a curmudgeon, we hate you. what can we say? Because if you're giving license to do what we do, and you can do radio shows, and you can do all that, and you can say it in so many words, you know, and you can spend 2 hours poking fun at stuff that we love to do, and we love to poke at Putin, and we love to say Putin's at it again,
but tonight is different.
Tonight is different. Tonight was different. You know, there's
Look,
a lot
it's
of
the
things
first,
that...
It's the first night we had no promo, which was meant for a reason,
yeah,
where we could just show and offer what his work for, not anyone else's, not ours.
Just his. Just his, because there's nothing to say. There's nothing left to say except go to YouTube, get yourself something that reminds you of this great man.
And I own Hook on DVD, which I have a funny feeling will be watched this weekend.
Yes. And I will probably watch Good Will Hunting, or Jacob the Liar, or Awakenings, and cry my eyes out.
As a matter of fact, you know, I'll probably, you know, balance it.
Maybe I'll see Hook. Possibly I'll see Hook.
There's also other movies of his, like Patch Adams. Patch Adams, as much as it's sad, it leads to something more.
Exactly. You know, there are films, like...
Maybe skip over RV.
Skip over, definitely skip over RV, because... Or,
Hey, it had to be said.
What?
They had to be said.
Yeah, that was
so,
awesome.
I mean,
But if you like that movie, hey, more power to you.
Yeah,
if you like the one where he played a vicar, more power to you.
Yeah.
But if you're anything like us, of which we are three connoisseurs of plays and movies and the Sutton's and...
Among other things.
Among other things. You will realize...
There's a lot more to him.
There's a lot more to him than just... Oh, God. If you want to go see something funny, go pick up the Birdcage.
Which that's actually on Netflix, so if you guys have it.
Definitely. Go watch The Birdcage. Go watch The Birdcage. Because it is Nathan Lane and Robin Williams in their finest performance. Not only does it feature them, but it features Gene Hackman and Hank Azaria. And Hank Azaria is hysterical in it. But not only that, but it's directed by the great, 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 great Mike Nichols. You know.
I think we could end the show a little early since it's...
Absolutely.
To give everyone time to...
It says that the bird is number 9 on the most popular Netflix list right now. In the past
Which makes sense.
The Birdcage.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
Number 4 is the Fisher King.
I think on this note, we're going to let everyone go.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back Monday.
We'll be back. We will be back. We can assure you that. We will be back in full form next week.
Yeah.
Have a great night.
Yes.